We're excited to see everyone here today, and we're excited to be here with you on this first Sunday of 2026. And we're excited because of what we feel the new year is going to bring us. We're excited, as you saw in the video, that we're doing the book of Luke, that we're going to walk through it. And just like we have every other book of the Bible that we walk through, we're going to start at the very beginning, and verse by verse, we're going to journey through the book of Luke together. It is through this study that we hope that you're encouraged and that you're confident in the holy God that is responsible for all the things that are happening in this world. And we're hoping that you're prayerful, that you are confident in the Jesus who come to seek and save the lost. So we're going to start that next week, because today we're going to take a look at our mission statement. Our mission statement was introduced earlier this year, but we never took the time to break it down and really look at it together. So we're going to do that today. We're going to look at our mission statement, and we're going to do that through the scripture in which we feel drives our mission statement here at Crocker Baptist Church. And our mission statement is found in the bulletin there. It's on the back, it's in full as far as the version of it, and on the front of it you'll see a reduced version of it. And you may ask yourself, why do we need a mission statement? But just like with anything else, it is to help drive us in a certain direction, to give us some sort of purpose in our life. It is to give us guidance in where we're going. But I feel most importantly, the reason for a mission statement is to unify the church. That in every area of the church, every age group of the church, every mission of the church is in a line and going in the same direction. To have a group over here and a group over here maybe doing two different things. And two different ways in which they're doing it, but both groups are focused in the mission of the church. And through this mission statement, I hope that kind of guides us and gives us direction as we go. So what is our mission statement? It's on the back of your bulletin, if you want to stay with me, that the mission statement of our church is: we know God through a Christ-centered worship, we love God through Christ-centered discipleship, and we serve God by being the church to whomever God puts in our path, right? And the short version of that is know God, love God, serve God. And this is kind of what we're going to drive as we go through. And I hope that you're somewhat familiar with it, because it's been in the bulletin for a while now. But we're going to take a look at this. And again, we're going to use Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40 to guide and show the essence of what our mission statement even is. So today, as we look at this, I need to bring out a couple of things as we get started. And I'm going to say a few things. And I've already said the word "we" quite a bit, and I'm going to continue to say the word "we." And I want to explain what that "we" means. As we introduce stuff and talk about things, the "we" is you. Through the conversations that I've had with you, hearing your blessings that God has bestowed upon you, hearing your dream and passion for Crocker Baptist Church, for the community of Crocker as a whole, all of these things, we're going to take into account everything that you've said. Not only your dreams, but maybe even your concerns. How can we address all these things together as a church? So I listen to you, and everything that we've done in the church thus far has been based on everything that I've heard from you guys. And I want that to continue. So whenever we say "we," it means you. And we want to honor God by serving the church and by serving Him through the church. And another thing is, I'm going to reference the bulletin quite a bit. The bulletins are back there. We hopefully make enough for you each and every week. Most everybody that's in there right now walks past the bulletin this morning. So we want to encourage you each and every week to get you one. At least have one for every home. We want it to be a resource that you're going to use. And we're going to reference it quite a bit to point out some of the things that we're doing over the next year. And hopefully continue these things as we continue on in ministry here at Crocker. So we're going to use the bulletin quite a bit. And then we're going to close out the service today with a prayer. We're going to identify certain groups within the church. And we're going to pray over those certain groups as we move forward in the year to come. But to capitalize on our mission, we're going to do this by looking at Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. So if you have your Bibles open and are ready, it reads, Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Great and glorious, gracious and heavenly Father, we bow now before you in this new year, in this new opportunity that we have, a clean slate as we look forward to the opportunity to minister in your name. We pray most importantly for your blessings. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your presence to show us, to lead the way as we journey through this next year and the years to come. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in all things that you are exalted and magnified, not only in this service here today, but in every step that we take in our life. And it starts with you. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Do your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, looking forward here, with the first part of our mission statement, as we said, is know God. Right? And we feel that the best way that we're going to know God is through Scripture. And Jesus teaches this here to us in verses 34 and following. We see that the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees. Now, these are two religious groups, and they didn't really get along in some ways, and in some ways they got along great. But they were both religious leaders within the Jewish nation, and they were advising counsel religiously. But the problem was is that they were advising according to man-made laws, according to things that they wanted, some traditions that they had within the Jewish customs. And when they come to Jesus, they said they gathered together and they had silenced the Sadducees, and the Pharisees were going to come at them. Well, this is something that you see quite frequently throughout Jesus' ministry. And you see that he has been challenged. His authority is being challenged in a lot of things that he's teaching because it doesn't line up with the tradition. It doesn't line up with the man-made laws. And the reason we say that, and sadly because we say that, is because they were teaching according to that and not according to Scripture. And that's the thing we have to identify, is that Jesus always went to Scripture. Whenever there was a confrontation, whenever there was a question, whenever there was anything that happened that Jesus is recording in his ministry as he walked every day with the Lord here on earth, he used Scripture for everyday life. That's a lesson for us. We know God by knowing the Scriptures. Everything about our service, everything that we've done, ever since I've been blessed to be here as your pastor, we've always solely relied upon this. I've never preached out of anything other than this. This is the source in which we drive our messages. This is the source in which we think of how we're going to serve, how we're going to be a church here at Proper Baptist Church, is because of what Scriptures tell us. Scripture has to be the core of everything that we do because that's the only way we're going to know God. Now, you can hear a sermon, you can hear a particular Scripture in your life, and it can make you feel really good. It can maybe bring emotions in some sort of a way. And that's good. But the sad part is sometimes we connect to that one particular thing and make that the foundation of everything instead of considering all of Scripture. And I want to highlight this by saying that what happens when you don't feel so good? What happens when you're having a bad day? What if that Scripture really doesn't mean anything to you anymore? Who changed? Did we change? Or did God change? If God changed, that means he's a moving target of some sort. If you think about it, if God changes in any way, according from what we know in Scripture, that means he's a moving target. That means that he would be impossible to satisfy because we don't know what he's looking for. It may be possible for us to serve him correctly because that service could have changed. But God is not a moving target. God does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 clearly says, "You were the same yesterday, today, and forever." We can trust in God because he does not change. Our Scriptures tell us he is the same always. And if we can trust in him being the same God always, then we can know that whenever we read anything here, that it is right and it's true and it's satisfactory to God, because this is the person and work of God. This is how we know who he is. If a husband and wife, I've used this illustration before, If they were to get married and they one lived on one end of the house and one lived on the other, it wouldn't be a very good relationship, would it? And that whole illustration comes from a couple that actually there's two couples I know of that literally after the wedding and after the honeymoon, she went back living in her childhood room with her parents and he went and lived in a home. They used to say that marriage didn't last very long. Evidently, it's a thing now. I don't know. I've heard of a couple of instances of it. But how can you really grow in a relationship if you never spend time together, if you never grow in the struggles of life, if you never share and rejoice in the good things together? And it's the same with God. How are we going to know God if we don't spend time with Him? How are we going to let Him bless us if we don't spend time with Him? The best way in which we do that is a healthy diet that we have daily in the Scriptures to read and understand God. And yes, there's difficult things in here. I've said it 100 times. But read. Let us know that there's going to be things that we're going to be challenged with. But God's going to reveal everything we need to know in order to know Him, love Him, and serve Him, and to be saved by His grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are sufficient in every way. We have to know Him. And the only way we know Him is through Scripture. Yes, you can come here, and I promise you, as long as I'm pastor here, as long as I stand before you each and every Sunday, the Scriptures are going to be taught. But really, is 52 hours a week enough? We should want more of God. We should want to know more of God. And that is a healthy diet of daily devotion to Him. Through prayer, through studying the Scriptures, and just meditating on His Word. Letting it wash over us and transform us. To help with that, I've got daily Bible reading plans in the back, under there where the bulletins are. We'd love for you to pick one of those up. But also, while I was preparing this sermon, it kind of changed a little bit because I found a daily reading plan that is suitable for you. In order to access that, if you go to our website, right there is a great big button right there. And as soon as it pops up, it'll have daily reading plan right there. You just click on that button, and a daily reading plan is going to download to your computer. All you got to do is open that up and begin reading. Now you're 4 days behind, but you can catch up pretty easy. I really like this reading plan. I want to suggest it to you. If you want a guide to follow, if you want accountability, every single day, you've got an opportunity to read God's Word along with other people in the church. You can have conversations about the things that you just read. And another thing that we want to do to kind of help you know God is we're going to catechize the church. What we're going to do is catechism is a way in which we ask questions about the person and work of God. And this catechism is to help develop us, to stretch our minds, to make us think a little bit further than what we've ever thought before. And these questions are good in a way to make us think bigger, but also for us to have conversations with one another as well. Now, you saw that early this morning with the slide on there that Billy led us through a question and then he gave us the answer. But also it's in the bulletin. If you look in the bulletin right under the order of service, you'll see that same question. You'll see that answer as well as a scripture reference for you to go and look at it. And what we want you to do is to think about this all week long. To think about that particular question and allow it to help think, broaden your thoughts about who God is. It's important that we know who God is. And this is one way to help strengthen that. And in fact, whenever you have guests over, talk about it with them. To take that opportunity to share in their life. And also what you're doing is you're getting another point of view. So whenever they come over and say, hey, at our church, they've been asking us these questions. I wonder what you think about. And then read the question and let them help answer it. Think it through. And that might sound silly to you. And it's only silly until you do it. Our kids, when they were little, we had our family worship. Every night we would sit down and we would go through the Bible and we would pray together and do things together. And just us and our kids. No matter how young they were, they all grew up in it. And whenever they would have friends over, we did not have family worship because they were over. We included them in our family worship. Now, we knew some of the kids were staying over. It wasn't raised in church. They didn't know who God was. But we're introducing them to God. We're stretching ourselves by including people. We're exposing ourselves by inviting them into our emotional side. We're bonding. We're digging deeper in our relationship with other people when we include them in our form of worship. And this person may not know God. You're evangelizing by introducing God to them. Maybe they do know God. And now you're worshiping with a brother and sister in Christ. What a joy it is for you to be consistent and be firm and to grow in your faith and look at other opportunities in order to grow. So we're going to continue making Scripture the highlight of everything, and we're going to continue with this catechism, and I hope that it's a good way to do to grow in your faith. And because it's 2026 now, obviously there's an app for that. We're using the New City Catechism. And if you go to the Play Store or whatever, the App Store, you can download the New City Catechism app. And in that app, there's actual commentary that goes along with it, as well as prayers, guided prayers to help you with that. I'd encourage you to get that. If you've got any questions, it's in the bulletin there, and it's under in the announcement section, the name of that, so you can look it up later and download that and just go along with us from week to week. So we're going to continue in our purpose and our drive to know God. Secondly, we love God. We love God through Christ-centered discipleship. And what we see here is in our text, we see that Jesus is asked the question. They finally bring a lawyer who is one that is quick on their feet. Because the Sadducees and Pharisees had already, they're theologically trained, but Jesus is always shutting them down because he's using Scripture with every one of his answers, right? And so they said, we're going to bring a lawyer in, someone who's quick on their feet, who can think outside the box real quick and see if we can trap him, as it says. So the lawyer asked him the question to begin the conversation. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now Jesus is quoting the Shema here. The Shema was a very, very strong Scripture that the Jews listened, memorized, and they even prayed. Some of them, even still today, a devout Jew, still today will quote the Shema up to three times a day in prayer. It's a very important, so they couldn't argue with that. They said, well, what is the most important commandment of all that God has given us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. They'll amen that, right? That's good. But what he's saying here, they had problems with. For us to really think about, what is God expecting whenever he first said it back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5? What's he saying to us even still today? It's a holistic love. A complete love of God Almighty with our heart, mind, and soul. And it's pretty simple to explain, right? A heart. Our heart for God. We express our love for people by doing a heart, like Sean, heart, Sarah, right? We express it that way. And what about my hands are full? This is fun, I've never done it before. Huh? Yeah? All right, so we express it by the heart, but what's the heart do? It pumps blood throughout your entire body, doesn't it? So every part of me is in love with you. I want you to know that I love you by my heart because every part of me is all in on my love for you. Love God with your whole heart, with your soul. A quick way for me to explain that for you. Have you ever been to a funeral? You go there and there's an open casket. You look in, you see that person. You know that person. You spent time with that person. You're remembering the times that you've had. You've had that good memories with that person, or you wouldn't even be there, right? But no matter how long you look at them, there's still something missing in there. That person inside. It's gone. The person that made you laugh, the person that made you smile, the reason why you're there is the person that's gone. That soul is gone. So everything about me, my personality, is in love with God. And it's shown by the way in which I interact with the world around me. And then our mind. Everything we think of, how we think, how we process things, it is a God-centered, right? Heart, soul, and mind. And a quick way to explain the mind part of it is what you put in is what you're going to think about. So a daily diet of Scripture every day is a big help. So you think about love in itself as far as how we're to understand that and how it fits in our mission statement, because it goes closely with know God, doesn't it? To know God is to love God. And the more we know about God, the more in love we become with God. So we know God and we love God. We know God through Christ-centered worship. We love God through Christ-centered discipleship. And discipleship, as you know, is a big, big thing for me. I've always preached discipleship. I've always talked about discipleship. And I believe wholeheartedly that this is the evidence of our Christian faith. A love for the Scriptures and a love for neighbor. And we see that through this, we have to be available to our neighbors. Right? In order to prepare ourselves to be available to our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's through discipleship. Every bit of it. It is the fruit in which people are able to see in this world as we walk. It's because we are disciples. We are disciples who make disciples. And I don't want to re-preach those sermons for you. I just want to say that discipleship is important to us. You've even heard me in sermons that it would be off-cuff because I just heard it in Sunday school this morning. I always say that when I was in Terry, and Terry had said in Sunday school this morning, or Steve and his, in Sunday school this morning, we talked about certain things. Discipleship's important. This is where you grow together in the faith. You're always looking at Scripture because that's what Sunday school does. We look at Scripture and we grow in that together. We talk about how God's working in our life. And we hear about what other people are doing. And how they're doing it, and why they're doing it, because it matters. Because this is God. I love God, and I want to serve God, and I want to be more in love with Him, and I do it this way. And maybe that's a help for us. Another thing that we want to do is in the bulletin you see all of our Sunday school, the time and every class that we have available. And if it's required, we'll start a new class for you. Sunday school is important, to be in some sort of small group. And if the Sunday morning doesn't work for you, we got Wednesday night. We started earlier this year, Connect. Connect is our family worship program. And it's fabulous. I believe in it wholeheartedly. I'm throwing everything, all my resources, all my extra time that I can have into this Connect. Because it's important that you come as a family, that you're sitting in the pew with you and your and the family is mom and dad. Husband and wife. You don't have to have children to be a family. The family is husband and wife. That's what God created in the garden. But if you have kids, you're bringing them with you, sitting there. And if that holds you from coming, then come by yourself. There's something for everyone at every age level. And what happens at Connect is we gather here, Brother Billy, as he always does, wonderfully leads us in a couple of songs. After that song, usually it's me, but I involve other people. We give a child-friendly sermon, a small message that a child can grasp a hold of, and we've had good success with that they've been able to understand the small version of what the Scriptures are telling us. And then after that small child-focused message, we break up into groups, age-graded groups. So there's something for everybody at every level. Usually it's about 7 questions that we'll sit in our small group and we'll talk about. We'll ask questions over the message that we just had. That's what Connect is. After those 7 questions are done, we meet back in here. Billy closes us out with another wonderful song and a good prayer. It'll last about an hour. But I believe that this is the way in which we as a church grows. We're sitting beside brothers and sisters. We're sitting beside people in which we can grow together in our faith. It's every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you. It's a good chance. Give it a try. It's a chance for you to grow in your faith, to know God better, and to know the people around you. So discipleship is huge. So we're going to continue in that through loving God. So we know God, love God, and the last part is serve God. In verse 39, he goes and he says, "And the second is like it." All right? So this is unprovoked. They ask him, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord God with all the heart, soul, and mind. Right? And he goes on unprovoked and adds to that. And the second is like it. So this is almost saying, and equal to it. There shouldn't be no differentiation between it. You ask for the greatest commandment, but God also says in Leviticus 18, love your neighbor as yourself. Unprovoked. And so what is the commandment? Co-equally existing here. Okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is where we get our serve God. Now, proper is missional. We give to the routine club. We collect food. We're available. We make our buildings available. We give to Lottie Moon. We give to Eliza Brodus. We give to the Sunrise Children's Home. We do all kinds of stuff missionally. And if something was to come up, we're going to give it a try. We've done some things in the church as a group and give it a try, and it wasn't successful. It's just not for us. It's not going to work in our current setting. That don't mean we don't quit trying. Let's continue to look at ways in which we can serve the church, serve the community by serving God. By knowing Him and loving Him, we're going to serve, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And some suggestions for that is for me, just real simply, put a face to your mission. Put a face to your mission. And we've talked about it several times. Who's your one? Right? I know it was a big thing that with the Southern Baptist Convention, that the Kentucky Baptist Convention was pushing and all that kind of stuff, but I believe in it. I believe we should have more than one. But let's just start with one. Who's your one? Put a face to your missions. Who is it that I'm focused on? Who is it that I'm praying about? Who is it that I feel that God needs to intervene in their life in some way? Put a face to it. Figure out ways somehow this year to interact with them with the gospel. Pray about it. Set things up. Develop that relationship, that co-worker, and how you can communicate with them. Get them to trust you, and then set up an opportunity, a gospel opportunity. Make it a priority. Make it a schedule. And when we get together, we're going to talk about Jesus. But you don't have to do it alone. It might seem scary, and I understand. I told you the story about the first time I went and knocked on a door, didn't I? My very first time going to evangelize on the door. I hoping they didn't open that door because I wasn't ready. I was scared to death. But today, I really give it a good old whack on that door. I want them to know I'm there. I want them to know we have to do it. And when you got a face, when you got a purpose, when you got a goal, when you got someone that you're praying about and you've been praying about, God's going to show up. He always does. And I'm saying, don't do it alone. Let us know. Let us know how to pray. I do that. When I got a big thing coming up in my life, a chance opportunity to evangelize with somebody, or a meeting that's coming up that I want to have the best opportunity for them to know God, that I know that it's not me, that it's God through me by the Holy Spirit, I ask other people to pray for me. I'll send them a text. Hey, pray for me. God knows. And I know that they're praying for me. Don't do it alone. Let us help you. We don't have to know any of the details. But we want to pray with you. And I hope that you're willing to have other people pray with you also. And the things that you're wanting to do. Put a face. Look at our mission not as a project, but as a person. It's about relationships. It's about lives out there. And Cropper, we have enough of those that we can go and intervene with, that we can interact with, and that we can grow in a relationship with. They're all around us. Let's make sure. If they're going to another church, great. Let's leave that alone. I've always said I'm not a sheep stealer. If you're going to a church, amen. Keep going. That's great. But if you're looking, let me invite you to Cropper Baptist Church. To where we're going to know God, love God, and serve God. So these are some of the things at which we should think of as we go through this next year about what our mission statement even means. That we're going to rely on Scripture holistically. That it's going to be the foundation and the guidance in which we go and do all things, because that's the example that Jesus gave us. As I said last week, the number one question Jesus always asked was either, and with a combination of, haven't you read or haven't you heard? The number one question that Jesus asked throughout his entire ministry, and you read in the Gospels over and over, he'll ask those two questions the most. Haven't you heard or haven't you read? Saying that the Scripture is telling us this. That's not going to change. We're going to love God. We're going to continue in discipleship, and I hope it grows to where we got to do something else. And we're going to continue to serve. And we're going to put faces. And we're going to be intentional about engaging our community. Not because of the community, because of the people in it. So that's our vision. That's our hope for the year as we go through the community as a people, not a project. It's about building the relationships. And I want to, now, as I had said, we're going to identify a couple of groups of people. And the danger in doing this is that you may feel left out. Just know that I hope you don't feel left out about that, because we're going to take care of that at the end. But we got people that have been set apart, that do work behind the scenes that you may never know. And they serve faithfully. They put in a lot of time outside of the other times of going to work and spending time with family. And I would like to have the deacons come forward if they would. And I want to have a prayer over you. And as they're coming up, I want you to be in prayer with me about this. And then we're going to ask for the Sunday school teachers to come up after the deacons are done. And we're going to have the church council come up. And we're going to pray over them because of the decisions they have to make on behalf of the church. And as they're here, we're going to pray here together. If you'll pray with me over this. Brother Gary's coming on in here. We'll wait on you, brother. Great God, we come now. We just lift up the deacons that have been ordained and set apart, that they have been identified within this church as leaders, as people they respect and understand, and that they will rely upon, that will make good decisions. And we pray that that does not change. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we use them in a special way this year, and in a way that brings you glory, that furthers the mission of the church, that will allow them to glorify your name with the decisions they have to make, that they fully and completely rely upon Scripture itself for all of their decisions to be made. And we trust, Heavenly Father, that these men will continue to be faithfully available to the church for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Sunday school teachers, if you're a Sunday school teacher, come on up. We're going to pray over you too. I told you to be busy. I told you to be a little awkward. But yeah, come on up, Terry. We'll let you, man of many hats here. Our Sunday school classes are led by people that love the Lord. They love the Scriptures, and they want you to share in that as well. And none of them, or every one of them here, would admit that they're willing to learn as well. They study the Word and prepare their lessons. So we want to pray over them. Heavenly Father, we come now just lifting up the teachers that sit behind your Word, that sit behind the material that guides them in thanking, Lord God, the things of you. So I pray that you will continue to protect their preparation, that you will continue to guide their thoughts, that you will continue, Heavenly Father, as only you can, and using them for the rest of us. As we sit under their teaching, Heavenly Father, that we are able to grow as you would have us grow. And we trust, Heavenly Father, that as you do these things, that you've got a greater plan to grow our minds and our hearts for you, and grow as we spill over onto those around us. So we trust all this to you in the great name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Church Council, if you will join us here. If you're uncomfortable, you can just stand up if you like. But if you would like to join us here, we want to pray over you in that the decisions they make, they're the voice of the church. They hear you all in the pews, and they report back, and they logically think through things. And we want to ask God to bless them in that as well. So come on in here. We love you all, so get on in here real tight. Great God, we love you, and thank you so much for these people who have volunteered to represent you and your thoughts, to represent you and your mission, to represent you and your direction. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide them, not only in their personal daily lives, but also in the things of the church, that they will be usable vessels for you, that as the church can see the ones up here representing them, that they can reach out to them, knowing that they're going to listen, knowing that they're going to think on their behalf, and that this church, through them, is guided in a direction that is faithful to Scripture, honoring to you, and mindful of those around us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Everybody sit down. I'm not going to have anybody else come back up here. I got one more prayer for us. one more prayer for us, and it's for you all, for everybody here. You're special to everyone to your right and to your left, to me and my family. You're special to this church in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of things that we can put on the list of who's doing what. And those names will be dropped off. But I want you to know that the whole reason why we exist, why we do what we do, why we serve in the way that we serve, is because of you. And we know that there's a lot of you that are sitting out there that are doing things that nobody will ever know. And we want to thank you for that. And want you to know that as pastor, as part of the leadership, that as someone who wants to know you better, know that I want to be available to you. And know that you're not forgotten. For you are the foundational piece of what Proper Baptist Church is. We've got people that lead and serve in different ways, but you are the foundational piece of what Proper Baptist Church is. And why we serve God, love God, and know God through the Scriptures. So let me pray over the church as a whole here. Great God, again, as we close up this day, as we think through the blessings of life, I pray over each and every face, those that are here and those that were not able to join us here today for whatever reason, that, Lord, you will bless them right where they're at, right where they're wanting to do, right where they are placed in your hands, Lord. We ask and pray that as you move within Proper Baptist Church, as you do your plan through all of the things that we hope to do, Lord, that it is all about the church. For that is your plan A, not plan B. That your sole plan from the beginning was for the church to represent the body of Christ in a world that needs to know it and needs to see it. You sacrificed everything for the church by coming to this earth and living the perfect life, dying a real death in order that our sins can be forgiven, so that the church can be alive in this world. And even though we're in rural Shelby County, we can make a kingdom difference. Why not us? Lord, we're going to trust that you're going to open doors of opportunities for us. And we trust, Lord God, that in all things, that you will be glorified, that you guide us as only you can, and that every single person here brings you glory in the way in which you have directed them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close up today. I used this last year. I'm still not real sure what I'm going to do with it. But as we close up the service today, I want to remind us of who we are. You are a child of the living God. You have been called out and set apart, made part of a holy nation and a royal priesthood. You are the salt of the earth, appointed to preserve what is good and to bring God's grace and truth into this world. You are the light of the world, shining hope as a witness to the good news for all people that there is a Savior. You do not need additional credentials or a special calling. You, as one redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, as a follower who confesses Him as Lord, and as a servant bound to His purpose, you are already commissioned. Your actions do not determine who you are, rather, they reveal who you are. You live out your identity as a child of God and as a messenger sent to the world and to whomever God puts in your lives. You have received the power of the Holy Spirit, who dwells within every believer and is at the work in every circumstance. You are a witness, able to testify to His goodness and grace at work in your life and in the lives of others. You have been sent here, there, and everywhere so that the story of the gospel would be made known through what God has done in you and what He will do through you. You are an instrument of God's purpose, an agent of transformation in a broken and confused world. You are not merely a church member, but a citizen of the kingdom.
You are a fellow soldier, a spiritual warrior, and you are stepping into a journey that shapes lives and that will echo into eternity. You belong to Him and He belongs to you. Now go and make a difference in the name of Jesus Christ.